Through the back door, Steel, huge as a giant, plunged through and leaped square in front of that table. Blom's whole frame rippled as thought jerked him out of his trance. His comrade sat stone still. Then Hilliard and Pickens dived without rising from the table. Blom slowly rose. I think he did it instinctively, because if he had expected his first movement to start the action, he never would have moved. Snecker sat partly on the rail of his chair, with both feet square on the floor, and he never twitched a muscle. Steel blurred in my sight. Snecker had his gun up and ready. Steel never budged. Snecker's left hand swept to his right arm, which had been shattered by Steel's bullet. Blood streamed everywhere. Leaping, he went down on his knees after the gun.
Don't pick it up!
For an instant, it even held Snecker. On his knees, right arm hanging limp, left extended and face ghastly with agony and fiendish fury, he certainly was an appalling sight. Then he continued for his gun.
Snecker, wait! Don't make me kill you, you're only a boy! Surrender, you'll outlive your sentence many years, I promise clemency! Hold, you fools!
But Snecker was not to be denied his last game move. He scrabbled for his gun. Just then, something, an intuition, made me turn my head. I saw Blandy, the bartender, deliberately aiming a huge gun at Steel. I whirled. Blandy pulled the trigger just as my bullet smashed into his head. But he had hit Steel. The ranger staggered, almost fell. But he righted himself. Then, as I wheeled again, someone in the crowd killed Bo Snecker as he wobbled up with his gun. That was the signal for a wild break for outdoors for cover. I shoved Steel back of the bar, falling over Blandy as I did so. When I got up, Steel was leaning over the bar with a gun in each hand. There was a hot fight then for a minute or so, but I didn't fire a shot. Morton and his crowd were busy. The room got blue with smoke till you couldn't see, and then the fight changed to the street. Steel and I ran out. There was shooting everywhere. Morton's crowd appeared to be in pursuit of rustlers in all directions. Here, there, everywhere, as Morton and his squad cornered a rustler. Steel would go in, ordering surrender, promising protection. He seemed to have no thought of bullets. I could not hold him back, and it was hard to keep pace with him. How many times he was shot at, I had no idea, but it was many. He dragged forth this and that rustler and turned them all over to Morton to be guarded. More than once, he protected a craven rustler from the summary dealing Morton wanted. Steel and I made for camp then. We didn't speak a word on the way out. When we reached camp, all Steel said was for me to go off and leave him alone. He looked sick. I went off, only not very far. I knew what was wrong with him, and it wasn't bullet wounds. I was near when he had his spell and fought it out. Strange how spilling blood affects some men. It never bothered me much. I hope I'm human, too. I certainly felt something like an awful joy when I sent that bullet into Blandy's bloated head in time. And I'll always feel that way about it. But Steel's different.